call the meeting, House Resources Committee, to order at 9:27. And we're going to take up legislation in the following manner. First, we'll deal with Senate Bill 544. Expect a positive discussion on that one and action. Next, we'll go to Senate Joint Resolution 81, then Senate Joint Resolution 59. Number four will be Senate Bill 545. Number five will be House Bill 213. And then number six will be Senate Bill 205. And at this point, I will turn it over to the co-chairman, Menard.
For the record, for the Resources Committee, there was co-chairman Menard, Representative Hudson, Sharp, Navarre, Davis, and Chairman Davidson, who had to leave here shortly. So let's go ahead and start on the Senate Bill 544 on reclamation. And Jerry here? No. Jay, you want to go ahead and bring us up to
Frank?
Who is Frank? Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Root.
Mr. Chairman, in the interest of time, would you like to adopt House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 544, Resources?
I would.
So moved.
And hearing any objection? Okay.
That's the 544 version?
Right. Correct. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, would you like me to quickly?
Please.
Quickly. Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm Frank Root, Division of Habitat. Jerry did give me his proxy, but I'm not sure what that means. Basically, the committee substitute you have before you is a draft that's been worked on by a group of interest groups that are behind me. I guess the administration supports the approach that's contained in here. I think you all are familiar with the different sections, unless you want us to run through them.
No.
It's okay. Basically, the administration is in support of the bill as it's drafted here,
okay.
And you may want to ask each of the interest groups their feelings. And if you have questions, I'd be happy to try and answer you.
Okay. Representative Bark.
Yeah, the only question I have is the title that we had come over the Senate is not the same as the title we have in this bill. And I'm wondering if what's in the bill is consistent with the title, or we have to do a title change resolution.
Mr. Chairman, President Navarre, it's my understanding that the body of this bill is not consistent with the Senate bill title, so there would have to be a title change.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Root. Representative Navarre.
We can have discussed these amendments.
Yes. Here.
Are these who's offering the amendments?
I've got one.
Caribou Creek. Mr. Holdsworth, you want to make comments?
For the record, my name is Neil McKinnon. I'm the president of the Alaska Miners Association, and basically with small dissent, we're all in favor of this bill and the approach on two fundamental principles that apply to everybody and all types of mining, sand, gravel, because we don't feel that there's any difference, and we don't see how there should be any difference on any lands, especially with a problem that we have. It's not a problem, but it's a fact that most claims, one of the best areas, will have private land involved, patented federal mining claims usually, in a creek, and we feel if somebody's done a good job up to a line, there should be no reason why you shouldn't do the same thing on the set of a line.
Thank you. So
this is, I guess, basically consistent with what federal guidelines are?
Close? The ones that we see coming, yeah. You know, it's some places it's kind of a pill for us to swallow, but we've coated it with some candy with the bond pool provisions, and that's one thing that's gotten most of the miners on board. It's that will really, in effect, will help the industry and help us too.
Thank you.
Are there other persons who would like to comment on Senate Bill 544? Lisa, would you please come forward and let us know who you represent and state your name.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Lisa Yeager, and I'm representing Tanana Chiefs Conference, which is a Native corporation representing 43 villages. And the people I represent wear a lot of them wear many hats, but they wear two main hats. One of them is as a corporate shareholder of Doyon Corporation, and the other hat is as subsistence hunters and trappers and fishermen. And it's to the that side that I'm representing on this particular piece of legislation, with keeping in mind that they're also Doyon shareholders over here, and I'm not speaking on behalf of Doyon when I'm speaking. We've come a long way. We've had a lot of problems in our region, and I think this is going towards a solution to some of the remaining problems that we have in our region, and we support the bill. With the different types of interest groups involved here, there isn't a whole lot of room, I wouldn't say, to change it drastically and still keep this consensus together. I think you probably realize that with the Miners Association and the environmentalists and Tanana Chiefs all involved in one bill and the agencies, we've all kind of compromised almost as far as we can compromise. So, for the record, we support this bill.
Thank you, Lisa. Are there questions or comments of Lisa from members of the committee? No comments, no questions. Thank you very much. Are there other persons who would like to testify on this bill? Mr. Blue, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Bill Blute from the Alaska Environmental Lobby. We have been working on this bill as well as part of the working group, and we do support it. If I may, I would like to read several understandings into the record, if I may, as to what some of the provisions mean.
If you would, please proceed.
It is with the understanding that this must apply to all lands in the state, and also that it must apply to all kinds of mining, with the exception only of coal, oil, and gas, which are covered under other statutes. With the understanding that the phrase in Section 1D on not altering or diminishing the authority of various agencies is interpreted, and we understand it to mean that those entities may establish higher standards but not lower standards than what's set forth in MIS. In 2719.020, the Reclamation Standard, our understanding of that is that it means that the operations must be conducted in accord with essentially what is considered state of the art and the acceptable practice within the industry, and not be used as an excuse for substandard practices. In 2719.040, that the reclamation bonding is understood to be a precondition for approval of the plan, and that it shall be released upon satisfactory completion of that plan. And under cooperative management agreements, that if someone wishes to practice forestry or to work under other land ownership, which can be covered under this, that the state still shall retain the authority and be able to sign it over under a cooperative management agreement. Finally, that the stable condition be understood to include, if necessary, that revegetation may be accomplished by reseeding with native materials or native plants. And that we do not expect rock faces to be revegetated under that, and we believe that's covered under that. And I believe that is the end of our list. Thank you.
Other questions, Mr. Blue? Thank you, Mr. Blue, for your comments. Are there other people? Last call for comments, comments on Bill 544. Representative
Mr. Chairman, I just want to be certain that this latest draft incorporates the concerns that Bob Loescher brought before this committee from the Sea Alaska Corporation, those timber issues relating to the rock quarries.
Is there someone who can answer the question? That's my understanding that that those concerns have been addressed. Is there anyone, Representative Sharp?
Not in regard to his question.
Okay. Anyone who is more familiar with Representative Hudson's comments?
Hi, my name is Johanna Munson. I work for Representative Menard. We have been in communication with Bob Loescher and with Sam Pito, who's representing him. And it's my understanding that they are supportive of the CS with the amendments, with Amendment 1 and 2 that accompany the bill.
Okay.
Would page 3, under 050, subparagraph 2, the 50,000 cubic yards of gravel, I presume at any rate that was the principal issue they had concerned.
That's correct.
All right, thank you very much. I'm satisfied, Chairman.
Co-Chairman Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of amendments I'd like to make. I think the members have a copy of the amendment one is page 3, line 22. We drop off specific, and it says reclamation measures to be used, and drop off the rest of that sentence, Mr. Chairman. And I would move the amendment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we do not have a quorum here, so they couldn't be difficult to do that.
Well, but we had a quorum, even though they weren't here. So.
Well, but if we're going to vote on something, I want to have enough people here to vote. Otherwise, it's that time of the process.
Can we get somebody down here, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Because we have a rather pressing meeting that we have to go to, which I think is important to all of us.
We'll go ahead and why don't you address amendment number 2.
Then amendment number 2 is on page 6, line 8, and after rehabilitation, we just add the words where feasible. And it's on page 6, line 8. And, so the sentence would mean stable condition means the rehabilitation where feasable of the physical environment. So we're adding in where feasible.
Okay, we have before us two specific amendments. I believe it improves the bill, and I would entertain a motion to adopt the two amendments as moved by Co-Chairman Menard.
So moved.
Is there objection? No objection. We have another amendment, amendment number 5, offered by, I understand, Representative Sharp. Representative Sharp, would you care to address your amendment number 5?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess it's technically number 3. But and since I was looking off a draft that was a day old, that should refer to page 6, line 28, to be correct on the new draft, I believe. What this, Mr. Chairman, intends to do is basically preclude any regulations to be promulgated that would require a miner re-entering a previously mined area to rework tailing piles or something to be required to reclaim the total area that was previously mined. For instance, there's a lot of creeks that have been mined one time and is now sometimes profitable to go in and remind the tailing piles. And talking over the telephone with the drafter, it did not preclude the possibility of regulations requiring a new activity to be responsible for all the disturbances caused by prior activities on the original claim, which could be hundreds of acres.
Thank you, Representative Sharp. The drafter, I understand, is here. Bradley, would you please join us? Amendment number 5. Ms. Bradley, could you address amendment number 5, please? Please state your name for the record.
My name is Dick Bradley, Legislative Counsel. I have looked at amendment number 5, and technically I think it's got a problem, because it should say prior to the effective date of this section, the effective date of section 1 of this act, in the last line. I think that's what is intended. As I have suggested to Jay Nelson, I don't think the amendment is necessary, although I think it clarifies. The reason why I suggest that it may not be necessary is that normally laws are prospective, and when the law takes effect, it looks forward and doesn't particularly look backward unless the bill addresses retroactivity, unless it addresses what you want done with existing unreclaimed areas. And I think that there are some hints in the act, in the bill. The one hint is this question on the small operations of cumulative disturbed areas, cumulative unreclaimed mining areas. But basically, I don't see retroactive application of the language. If you wish it to have that, then you should say so.
Representative Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the concern I would have is it seems to be broad enough that anybody that would work, Representative Sharp, that would work old mining land would not be covered by this, act. Now, I don't know if that's your intent on that, but I can understand your concern about someone that moves a couple acres of ground on a 120-acre mine site. Would you don't want them responsible for all that, but it doesn't seem this language doesn't seem to cover that. It covers any reclamation at all on someone that's doing old ground. That's the way I read it, Mr. Bradley. I don't know if you also read it that way as well.
What, how do you read it, sir?
That it says here, adopt would require miner to be responsible for any reclamation on any portion of mined area or previously mined area. So in other words, I don't know how it sort of...
Where are you reading?
On the amendment.
Oh, the amendment. Well, this clarifies your intention. I mean, if it states your intention.
I'm saying it's not my amendment. But it seems to be that it would say that any... Representative Sharp indicated that he felt that someone shouldn't be responsible for it if they're going into a firm ground to reclaim all 120 acres, for example, but perhaps only the ground that they're working on. But this seems to be that they wouldn't be responsible for any of the ground. I don't know if that's, maybe I'm reading it wrong, or it just seems to be.
I think you're reading it correctly.
Okay. I think.
Should. Wait a minute.
Representative Davis, have you concluded your comment?
Maybe your response, but yeah, I think I've.
Representative Sharp and Representative.
I don't see how you could read that into it. It would still be applicable to on any mining activity that occurred after the effective date of section number one is correctly, is correct to technicality. So prospectively, any activity that's covered by reclamation requirements in the Act would still be covered. It would not allow a miner to be held responsible for any mined area or previously mined area attributable to the activity of a prior mining activity. That's all.
Representative Sharp, so a miner that goes in to rework old ground.
Or now I don't want to try to con you here, it also involves a situation where a person might have been mining a gravel pit operation or a mining operation for the last 15 years and wasn't required to reclaim. Now, with the new law, would be required to file a reclamation plan or more stringent ones. Would not have to go back and redo everything as required previously.
So, as Mr. Bradley said, prospective is the law, or the intention generally of the law. Mr. Bradley, a question. We're operating under old law now. We're going to be operating under new law in 1991. What happens to those sites that they would continue to operate under old law, right? The old site.
Well, there is no old law, is there?
Well, requirements that the miner operates under now.
Yes.
There is no reclamation requirement.
That is correct. That's my understanding. In law, it's been suggested that the commissioner has had some
regs.
Some regs at some point that required reclamation.
So what my question then is, Would those old sites that have been worked up to 1991 continue on under those old regulations?
There are the subject. There's no way.
That's okay.
I don't know the answer to the question. I don't know because, but it's clear what the new situation would be. I mean, you're under new law as of October 1991.
Representative Hudson.
My understanding, Mr. Chairman, and perhaps to you, Dick, that this bill, even with this amendment, would require that any disruption from the effective date of this thing forward would be fully covered by the provisions of this Act. That if a miner were to go back in and work over, say, a 20-acre claim, but only essentially disturb, say, 2 acres of it, that Minard would be responsible for the 2 acres and according to all the provisions of this law.
I think he would be a small operator, yes. But
Representative Sharp.
The small operator is still subject to reclamation, as it should be, on the 2 acres he disturbs. What I'm trying to make sure is that it isn't written in the reclamation he's responsible for the full 20, because 18 previously disturbed. And that is the case under certain federal regulations that's been put into effect, trying to force operations into reclaiming previously mined areas. And that, therefore, you're not even going to get reclamation on the ones where they want to go back in and mine tailings, because it isn't proper if you've got to go back and reclaim the whole damn valley. At least you're going to get some reclamation.
Do you have a final comment on this, is it still your assertion then that this language in Amendment Number 5 may be unnecessary?
Technically, I think it may be unnecessary. I think it is frequently desirable to deal with transitional situations. And I think this is one way of approaching the transition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brad. I appreciate your comments.
It also may be desirable.
I'd like to ask Mr. Frank Reed to come up, please, and give us a few comments, if you would.
Mr. Chairman, again, in the interest of time, I wonder if the maker of Amendment Number 3 would concur with the addition of the words of Section 1 after the date on the last line, the effective date of Section 1 of this Act, which was recommended by Mr. Bradley. So that we're dealing with a complete amendment.
Have you got a friendly amendment?
Very friendly, yeah.
Sure. On amendment number, what I've been calling number 5, but we want to call now amendment number 3. Mr. Root, if you would state your name for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Frank Root, Director of Habitat Division. I don't have a copy of the amendment in front of me. Thank you. I've got that. Just if you'd like my reaction to the amendment.
If you would, please, your reaction to Amendment Number 3 and previous Number 5.
Mr. Chairman, I had read the definition of mined area on page 5 of the bill to be the out, I think, that you all are looking for. In other words, the mined area is the active site of physical extraction, stockpiling, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that is what would take care of the problem. And that's what would have to be reclaimed, is that area that they are actively mining, stockpiling, et cetera. I don't think any of us intended in working on this bill that they be forced to go out and reclaim something that they weren't working on at this point. So that was, I think, where everyone intended to take care of the problem before, under the definition of mined area, Section 102.
Right. Representative Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also would agree with that, but as previously stated, there is a problem, I feel, with that definition even. On an existing active mined area that's been mined for several years, there is some unclaimed, might be some areas that would not meet the new specifications. And under the definition of the mined area, which doesn't means an active site and so on, that active site then possibly could be included prospectively, the whole site. And that's my fear.
Mr. Chairman, the other concern I think I would have in looking at it is that an ongoing gravel pit operation that may not close out for 25 years, I think 25 years from now you would want to have that site reclaimed. You know, they might be working and not have to reclaim it during the next 25 years because it's active, it's ongoing, you know, it's not in a state to be reclaimed. But when they close it out 25 years from now, I think you would want some reclamation to be done. So that would be, I don't know if this would affect that or that's the intent, but I think we were hoping it would be reclaimed.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Shrew. Representative Navarro.
I think what Mr. Sharp is saying, though, is that whatever activity takes place in a gravel pit from this day forward, if it's already like a 200-acre gravel pit and ends up being a 400-acre gravel pit, they only have to reclaim 200 acres.
Representative David.
No, Representative Sharp, I think I'm not going to support this because I think that this does cover the definition section. It gives me a comfort level. But I also think that, that there may be a case, who knows, down the line where they have an active site that they are responsible for, but it may be that they can work, and maybe there's an area that just is outside that area that may, you know, when they're done doing all the mining in their area and they want to reclaim it, maybe they can work something out with the department where, in terms of maybe less royalties paid to the state or whatever, that, that maybe the miner would be required to reclaim the whole area in exchange for less royalties paid or whatever, give them some flexibility. It sounds like they can't be required to do it under this law, but this may limit the flexibility of the department to work out some arrangement with an individual miner then in exchange for something else that they might, you know, it may be good to have a, you know, kind of a cooperative arrangement to work something out. But if they're already covered here, I think I'm comfortable with what's there, and if we need a letter of intent that says you can't require them, then I'm feeling more comfortable with that. But it sounds like we're
Representative Sharp.
I believe that's what mine says, that they could not require them to. They could work something out mutually agreed to. That says that they cannot adopt regulations that would require them to be responsible for previous activities. And that's exactly what I'm afraid of. They might try to tag on some surrounding lands to the reclamation plan of an existing permit.
But how is that possible, Representative Sharp? In fact, we know that you're talking about an area that has previously been mined.
And in response to Representative
Ms. Bradley, what would be your reading of such a situation as concerns Representative Sharp?
I don't think the question.
Representative Sharp says that, you know, his concern is that at a future date, as I understand it, Representative Sharp, please correct me if I'm in error. He's concerned that a miner working in an area would be responsible for an area that was previously mined. And as I understand it, your amendment number 3 absolutely clarifies that, and you feel that is necessary. You have told us that it may help clarify, but technically it is not absolutely necessary.
That is correct.
So what, Representative Rock?
I just have one more question. The example that I gave of a 200 acre becoming a 400 acre, it's 200 now, it becomes 400 acres. The intent of the law or the bill that we're writing is only to have it apply to the 200 acres anyway. Is that accurate? The additional 200 acres that takes place after the effective date of the act, is that what we're talking about?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Navarre, we hadn't gone through too many specific scenarios like that. My understanding would be if they had worked part of those 200 acres, in other words, if they were continuing to work on it, then they would, and then it grew to 400, those 200 would be included, the original 200. I mean, if it's 200 set aside, totally never touched again, I guess that, I don't think that was our intent to go back.
I think it's time to take action on Amendment Number 3. Thank you, Mr. Rubin.
Mr. Chairman.
Final comment, Representative Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just feel it is an area that could preclude miners going into an existing or a existing previously mined area and allow them to properly mine that area rather than going to virgin country, which still has the same pay in disturbing virgin country that is previously undisturbed, with the same economic value. And I'd hate to see that be precluded because of the fact they're entering into a valley that's completely mined out, but with the old techniques, they run a lot through this loose box and a lot got away. And they can go in there and do equipment and they can and make enough to do it. But they can't do it, they gotta reclaim the whole surrounding countryside. And I think that's possible under the way that's worded. I think Mr. Bradley said it's possible.
Chairman Menard.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that, you know, there may be some possibilities, but, you know, time is running out, Mr. Chairman, so I would like to, at this time, not support the amendment and call for the question.
Before we take the roll, Would it allay your fears, Representative Sharp, if we sent along a letter of intent? Sure. And Mr. Bradley, would this be something that would work equally well as far as clarification and technical point?
Well, I mean, I guess it's our standard answer that we prefer a law letter of intent.
I've got a lot of problems with the letter of intent. As previously explained to me at testimony at this hearing by other representatives, I'm not clear on it. I think they're worthless down the road. I feel that if there is any possibility of a problem, this does not do violence to the intent of the previous agreement. And I think it could do serious violence to the industry to remine old land without the economically possibly wiped out.
Well, Representative Sharp, Representative Gard, you can...
Yeah, I just think, I don't think that's accurate. I think if they go in and remine old areas with new techniques, then they'd be required under this bill just to reclaim the area that they redisturbed. I really think that's fairly clear. And I also think that this amendment is consistent with what the intent is, as I understand it at this point. So I really don't have a problem with the amendment either.
Mr. Chairman,
I have a problem with Amendment Number 2, which is already adopted, though.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to support the amendment because I believe that it states quite clearly what Mr. Bradley said he believed was already asserted in the proactive, you know, the intent is already in the bill. So essentially, it relieves some of the heartburn that perhaps some of the miners in the state might feel as a concern to them. It just simply says what probably is already there, but it puts it in, you know, in a specific language here, and precludes the commissioner from requiring the miner through regulations to be responsible for the whole valley. But it doesn't preclude, as I read it at any rate, the commissioner from negotiating on a long-term basis the incomplete restoration of the valley. It doesn't preclude them from doing it, but it doesn't give them automatically the authority to require it. And I think for that reason that it's a good amendment, and I'd like to see us vote on it and adopt it.
Regardless of the way this Amendment Number 3 offered by Representative Sharp goes, nothing precludes a committee of the future from revisiting this
absolutely
issue.
Not.
So,
question
has been called. Those in favor, please. I think we'll just call the roll there.
Representative Davis?
No.
Robert Simpson?
Yes.
Representative Navarro?
Yes.
Representative Sharp?
Yes.
Co-Chairman Davidson?
No.
Co-Chairman Menard?
No. So it's a tie vote. The motion fails. We have before us...
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Sharp.
I had two other amendments, but I can see that I'll probably have the name on the floor. So I would want to say that in this negotiating team and committee to put together, my understanding was there was no representatives from private landowners, major private landowners. I have a real problem with that. I've talked with Norm Folks from Dorion Corporation. They did not like their inclusion in this. And I understand by Mr. Gallagher testifying earlier that NANA has a problem with it. I don't know. I haven't checked with them. They're not in my area.
Well,
So I just want to go on record as saying I do not like the situation of private landowners being included in something in a working draft on a working committee where they weren't included and their concerns have not even been heard or addressed.
Mr. Chairman,
I'd like to go back and discuss Amendment Number 2 very quickly here because I had to go up to another committee. But on line 8, where we added page 6, line 8, stable condition means rehabilitation where feasible is what we added. And what I'm wondering is, did we have testimony as to whether or not this is a loophole, whether it means technically feasible or economically feasible or both, or does the department define that? Or does DNR get to define that? Because my concern is that when you put word feasible in there, obviously the out is just to say that it's completely not feasible to do it to that.
It's my understanding, Representative Navarro, that this is in fact an effort to accommodate private landowners. And I would ask Mr. Frank Grew to please address the question here.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Representative Navarro, we thought that the bill without the words feasible gave the latitude during the site-specific plan
and during the writing of regulations to deal with specific situations like a rock face where clearly it technically wasn't possible to do certain kinds of reclamation. So we didn't think the word was necessary, and that in fact it's more appropriate to do that sort of thing through the regulation. If it's a technical feasibility issue, it seems to me that's how you deal with that through the plan of operation. It's a judgment call whether this does great violence to the definition. It may throw into question whether you even need to do any kind of reclamation. I don't know. It's a judgment call on your part, I think, whether you want to put it here or let it happen during the regulation and the plan process. That's where we thought it would happen, during the site plan process. Additional comments, questions?
Mr. Chairman, I obviously we don't have a quorum to take it out anyway at this point, but my concern is that this is too broad. Feasible is not defined anywhere in any statute. In any manner that would make it clear as to what actually is required. So that's just the problem that I have is I don't think it's very well defined. Maybe it could be better defined by regulation.
Well, we will put 544 on hold and go on to the next order of business.
We don't have a quorum, so.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to see if we can get Jack over here. You got something?
Okay.
We stand in recess.
We will stand in recess to call the chair. Please check the announcement board for a new update on what we'll be considering.
You got a call, Mr. Chairman?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I don't know, 10 o'clock.
Well, look, we can move this bill.
Okay. We are back in session.
Speaker, I'm going to pass committee substitute for Senate Bill 544 resources out with individual recommendations and also the concurrent resolution that has to go with it when it's ready.
Is there an objection? No objection. House Bill 544 moves out of committee with individual recommendation. Thank you, Representative Sheriff. We will now stand in recess until call of the chair, and at a later point today, we will, in fact, deal with the previous items mentioned and hopefully a couple of others that we've had on the calendar but have had to postpone. Perhaps 540.
You got that, Frank?
Yeah.
I'll talk to you right after.